time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, good morning to one and all. Welcome to another day. It's a nice day. We've had so many nice mornings here recently. It's really great. I don't want to see fall come. I don't want crisp, cold mornings. I like nice, warm, sunny mornings. I'm sure most of you do, too. It's cheerful, having good weather. And the Bratwurst Festival, of course, starts tomorrow. And it looks like, you know, there's always that chance of a shower. Every year is about the same like that. But, yeah, they're ready to go full blast tomorrow, starting tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. My granddaughter, Scarlett Roston, is the Miss Teeny Pop, and she'll be in the Bratwurst Parade, along with, I'm sure, some of the other royalties from the Popcorn Festival. Good publicity for the Popcorn Festival, by the way, to march in front of a few thousand people and let them know about the Popcorn Festival. Okay, so now today I've got more things to talk about than you know, Carter had little liver pills, as I often say. So we'll get rolling along here. And I noticed as far as obituaries go, you know, that's the first thing that most of us look, you know, when we get up in the morning to see how many of our friends have passed. And of course, at my age, I see friends every day passing. But, and one especially this morning, J. Frederick Ballinger, or Jerry Ballinger. I don't know if you're not too old. Jerry Ballinger once was our interim mayor. He was the mayor between, I'm trying to think now, the two that before him. But he served, I forget how many months, as the interim mayor. And in that position, it was right after, what's his name, Ron Malone. Yeah, between Malone and whoever else. And he was going through the files to see what's what. And Jerry Ballinger found a letter from the United States Postal Service. Well, at that time, I was president of the Marion County Historical Association. That was in the late 80s. And so as President Jerry, of course, I had been friends with him for years. Jerry called me and said, Charlie, I just found something in the files here in the mayor's office you might be interested in. I said, well, what is it? Well, here's a letter from the United States Postal Service that we are offering the United States Postal Service in Marion, the old one, up for sale. And it's $78,000. If you're interested as a historical society, we'd like to sell it to you. And, it wasn't addressed to history. It was a notification to the city that the post office was up for sale, not directed at us. But when Jerry called me, I said, gee whiz, Jerry, maybe the historical society could buy that and have it as a museum. And so at the next board meeting we had, I brought this up, and one of our board members said, boy, all we need is another museum in Marion. we don't really want the post office, but, well, it turned out we did want it, and we bought it. And it took a while, but it all started with Jerry Ballinger, whose obituary is in the paper today. And I'm afraid that hardly anyone knows that story, so that's why I'm telling it. So if you read, if you get the paper and read that obituary or hear it on the air, Jerry Ballinger is responsible for finding the letter from the Postal Service saying that the post office was for sale. And so our couple of board meetings later, maybe not that many later, we decided to raise the money, or at least borrow the money, to buy the post office. And we had, too much in our treasury, because the Historical Society wasn't that old. And so we had to borrow the money, the $78,000, and then pay it back. And, you take a loan out for that, and with the, fact that you're going to have to pay it back. Well, the board members, each of the board members contributed in kind so much money to put down to buy the post office. And each one of us, I remember I pledged $4,000 and I didn't have a penny to my name. I didn't tell my wife, though, at the time. If they would have had to come back on us and collect that money on failure of the loan, we'd have lost our house really quick. So I pledged $4,000. And I thought, oh, my wife ever finds out, she'll kill me. But that's what we had to do. We rounded up enough money to for a down payment for that $78,000. You know, and prior to that, one of our county commissioners from Waldo kept saying, well, I can buy that post office for a dollar. Well, the USPS, the United States Postal Service, came back and said, no, you're not buying it for a dollar. He, George Snyder thought, because the county commissioners, a political group could just offer, a dollar and get it. And that wasn't to be. And so we had to raise the money and we had to pay the loan off. And I never will forget how relieved we all were to pay that loan off. I was president. Jack Telfer was on the board. Patrella Romine. And I'm trying to think. And, I think the others have probably all passed away by now. Yes, that was something. Well, anyhow, that's how we got the post office. Because of that letter that the late Jerry Ballinger found in the files in the mayor's office in the city of Marion. Now, remember that. If you happen to read the obituary today, it says nothing about that, of course, in the obituary. And it didn't like it. Well, it wouldn't anyhow. So that's that story. Now, the other day, remember, I was talking about the television commercial we've been watching for a long time, showing a man climbing a pole as they climbed poles many years ago. And I thought to myself, now, are they staging that? Men surely don't climb poles anymore, do they? Utility workers? Well, now listen. Howard Barr called me. Howard was the son of Harry Barr that did the wheelbarrow in the bathtub for me for the push and pull Gil Gomez in the doghouse and all that. And Howard said, Charlie, I teach pole climbing. He is hired by utility companies to teach pole climbing with the spikes and the belt and so forth. And there are facilities available at the old GTE area. There are still poles in the ground that can be used as, objects to training. Also over at Tri Rivers. And Howard Barr is a professional pole climbing teacher. And he said that, I don't know which utility company it requires, but at least one of them, maybe both of them, require their employees to pass that test of climbing a pole with spikes and belt. So, that to me, that is so interesting to learn. Wow, This is great. So, yes, that commercial is accurate, although the belt is a little different now. The belt that they use goes around the pole, so in other words, if your spike slipped, your belt would catch you, and you could end up, you know, sideways or upside down or all around, but you wouldn't be falling. You could straighten up and, straighten up and fly right, yeah. And so it goes. Oh, boy. And so much for that. Now, mark that down. The day you learned about pole climbers, that they still exist in a big way, really. Okay, and Jerry Ballinger. Wow. Okay, then here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, I was going to wait for you today to ask you the question. I've been out by the college campus there, and driving back through there, oh, that's been a year ago, there's telephone poles there. I imagine there's 15 or 16 or 15 or so there. Yes. There are different angles and stuff, telephone poles. They must have a educational class out there learning how to do that.
Where was that at, did you say?
Pardon me?
Was that at Tri Rivers?
No, at the Iowa State campus right there off of 95 right there.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I don't know, but they have the poles yet at the old GTE, you know, or Frontier. Their poles are still in the field there, and they're used for teaching. And
yeah, but right there is the college campus back there. I thought, well, I wonder what that is, and whether it's a division of the telephone company or the power companies or whatever it is. But someday you're out there, and I know you get out around there, just go back in there a little bit there at the back of the campus. You can just drive right back there, and you can see them, different angles and stuff. You know, a pole that's been leaning, and maybe an accident or something, they have to climb up there and take the wires off and
that
stuff.
Might
maybe
be it. I might have misunderstood it. Instead of it being at Tri Rivers, it might be there at the campus, yeah.
But yeah, they're right there at the college, and I said, man, that's pretty... we was talking about that's old-time stuff, you know, Charlie, but that must be still pretty important stuff
it
to
is.
Have it on campus.
In fact, you have to pass a test of that climbing before
you...
Yes.
Yeah. And these big poles, the theory on those high tension, the high-powered lines, I told Carol, I said, I'm glad they're doing it. And that is me being skeptic about this. Those things are really high, and you notice they're higher than any tree that's growing.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't have to get these trees and do this silly, there is no teamwork in this stuff. Why would you cut a big V in a tree and leave the tree there, branch out over
the
roof?
Okay, Ted, that is strictly the power companies are being infringed upon by that tree, because that tree is usually in the right of way of the highway or whatever.
Absolutely.
And they're only cutting the tree away from their power lines.
Absolutely. And, but I say, we don't work together in this country.
Yeah. Break,
that's
Ted.
That's on the right of way.
Okay.
We're not going to have it there. We're taking it out.
Hey, Ted, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after signing a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Two, one. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again, and going back to the trees, yes, the utility companies are not in the business of, trimming a tree the way it should be trimmed. Their main concern and only concern is their power lines are free. Nothing is touching them, and it's up, I guess, maybe to the homeowner or somebody else, if they don't like the V-shaped trees, they could cut, have it cut down. But the main thing is to clear the power lines, no matter how it's done. And in Marion, the same with Mount Vernon Avenue, those trees look so ugly. And I keep thinking, boy, if only somebody had the money to come along and trim those trees up, get them away from the power lines, because the next big storm that comes along, our power goes off, and our ingredients in our freezer starts thawing, and the power doesn't come on right away. Well, that's because trees brought the power lines down. Well, anyhow, that's one thing. Okay, and now let's go to another. I got more topics today we could cover than anything. In the paper, Marty Kaufman, his obituary, you know, Marty died just a few days ago. And there has been that question about that thing that's being built there on the drive into where Smith Clinic is, or Ohio Health, or whatever. And supposedly, well, in fact, Marty Kaufman's obituary said burial will be in the Marion Cemetery at a later date. And that's because, apparently, that is a monument that's going to be there, and it's not done yet. And I tell you, I don't know if I ever was introduced to Marty Kaufman or not. What a go-getter he was. He suffered, though, for 10 years with esophageal cancer. But he and his wife donated the Kaufman Park for dogs. His wife especially was a great dog lover, and together they donated Kaufman Dog and Water Park. Yes, that's how it got its name, Marty Kaufman. His obituary is in the paper again today. What a go-getter. His dad started this wire assembly plant. I think it was up on 423. Maybe it's still there. I don't know. They built wiring harnesses for Whirlpool and some other companies, and that was big business. And so Marty bought from his dad that company, and it flourished. But Marty Kaufman also raised, according to his obituary, got in the earthworm business of raising night crawlers. How about that? And some other business ventures. And I thought that was so great. What a go-getter. And he was a pilot, had his own airplane and all. Speaking there, did I tell you? On my way into work today, I was coming along Route 95, and I saw what I saw, well, last year, a aerial applicator. I don't know if it was Dick Fisher out of Mount Gilead or our airport manager in his facility. But I tell you, it's a thrill. You're driving along 95, and here's this airplane. You look out the window, and you're watching the pilot. He's about the same level as your car. And then, whoop, up it goes. Oh, what a thrill. That's more thrill than you would get if you paid money to go to an air show, really. The skill of the pilot and the power of the aircraft. My goodness, what a thing to watch. And I don't know if they were applying fertilizer. It could have been fertilizer. There is I used to advertise, I remember when it was Nature's liquid fertilizer. I don't know if that's what it was, or, you know, that's the time of the morning, though. Early in the morning before the winds generate. That's when you want your aerial application. And now, it's not necessary to have a flag man stepping over and telling which rows have to be sprayed yet. He's got all that on GPS. And the only thing, he's in control of the aircraft. GPS might tell him where he needs to spray, but it's up to him. Yeah, really great. What an interesting occupation that would be. You wonder what kind of life insurance. Oh, I mean, it, but they're good. I mean, the best pilots in the world have to be your aerial applicators. My goodness. And they say, among themselves, you're not good until you've got some of the corn stalk hanging from your wheels. Oh, my. So that's another story, the Marty Kaufman story. And so it goes. And now let me see. Oh, and something else. I thought of all the ridiculous things for me to bring up would be the story about semi-trucks. And here's what I don't know if any of you ever noticed or not, a semi-truck hooking up to a trailer. I had to take a swig of sweet tea there. Okay, have you ever seen a semi-tractor back into a trailer and hook up? Well, what is that thing called in the back of the, and do they call this a semi or a semi-truck or a semi-period or a tractor? The unit that backs into the trailer and hooks, and what's the thing on the back of the semi that the trailer hooks to, what's that called, that flat plate? I'm probably the only person in the world that's ever brought that subject up in the media. But what is that flat plate called on the back of a semi-truck? That they, it has a guide in it, doesn't it? A groove, and they back it into the semi, which has apparently a ball, a fitting that hangs down and latches into that. Is that the way it is, or have they modernized that? But I was just interested to know, what is that round, flat thing called where the trailer hooks onto? Now, does anyone listening know? I wonder. Yeah, if anyone knows, give me a buzz at 740-383-9944. And just exactly, is it still called the semi-tractor or the semi or the cab, or just what does the operator call it as he backs into the trailer? What's that flat thing on the back of a semi called? Now, I know none of you have ever questioned that in your life. And you say, well, why am I? Because I'm curious about everything. Yeah, always have been. But that's the way you learn. So that's what I wanted to mention to a semi hookup. How's it done? Anybody out there listening? Any truck drivers that can tell us all about that? I think it'd be kind of interesting. 1039's the time. And so it goes. Yes, trimming trees away from power lines leaves a lot of the trees with a fork like a slingshot. But that's all the tree trimming companies have to do. They have to free the power lines and not, you know, do a decorative cut. Their job is to keep the power lines free. Okay, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Well, I think that's called a kingpin, Charlie.
Oh, really? A kingpin?
I think.
Well, now that would be interesting.
Yeah. Hey, I've got another question for you this morning.
Yes, okay.
Over the weekend, I bought a book because one of my weaknesses is buying books. And it's an old one, but it's a car you can build and drive. Have you ever heard of a Buffy Porson?
A Buffy what?
A Buffy Porson, Buffy-Porson.
No, I've heard of the King Midget, but this car you're talking about is a build it yourself, you say?
Yeah. And, I mean, this book, you know, basically shows you how to build it and everything, but it's the cutest little car, and I have never heard that term before, and I just wondered if you had.
No, I haven't. The only term I know, as far as a build-it-yourself car, was the old King Midget.
Okay.
And there's still a lot of them around in collector's hands. But, yeah, you had to build it yourself. It was very small. And the man I know that built one was 6 feet tall.
Oh, my.
And people used to gather around just to watch him get in that car.
Well, this is just the cutest little car. Oh. And I thought, well, if anybody'd ever heard of it, probably you had, or maybe one of the listeners.
Now, what's that name again? I'll write
it. Okay, it's Buffy, Buffy.
Yeah.
Dash, Porson.
Okay, Buffy Porson. Okay, yeah, I wonder, I bet you could Google that on the internet.
Well, I never thought about doing that either, but this is just the cutest little book, and Well, I was drawn to it, so I bought it.
Oh, my God, yes.
So there you go.
Very good.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bussy Porson. Okay, does that name ring a bell? Any of you guys listening? Older guys, Bussy Porson, do-it-yourself car? Okay, 10:42 is the time. And yes, major things I often look at are the ugly trees along highways that have been V'd, you know, cut out the middle to free the power lines. And the power line companies, all they want to make sure is their lines are clear. They're not concerned about doing a decorative cut, you know, just so. The main thing in their book is to free the power lines from any tree limbs. And they gauge this by a 5-year growth.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, that truck, remember when I was real young, and you was probably real young, you'd say, there goes a bobtail. And that means without a trailer. So.
Oh, is that right? Bobtail.
Yeah, did you ever hear that phrase? He's running bobtail?
No, I never heard that.
Oh, I don't know why that stuck in my mind all the time. Yeah. A guy that don't have a trailer on the back of his tractor,
yeah.
Trailer or his rig, you know, he pulls them with. They just call him. I'll be running bobtail for 400 miles, and I'm gonna pick my trailer up.
I always heard of deadheading.
Yeah, deadheading. That's the phrase on the railroad when you go from one place to the other. We used to deadhead on the passenger trains when they run. Now we deadhead on four rubber wheels. The guy said,
"That's right."
I spent more time on my monthly paycheck on the rubber instead of on the rails.
Yeah, did you hear read about the big train wreck up on CSX?
No, I haven't.
Or Norfolk and Southern, maybe. It was in Wyandotte County.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was a big one. What happened was, apparently, the one train plowed into the other because it wasn't all the way into the siding.
Oh,
in fact, these sidings, Ted, are not long enough anymore for a 2-mile-long train.
Well, that's no excuse for that. There's some kind of a faulty communication.
Yes.
Once a train's back of another train on the circuit, he gets a stop signal, and then he may get another color light, and he may travel at speed prepared to stop short of obstruction. So that's the rule on that, but I don't know how that happened. But, you know, there's a lot of things happening anymore, Charlie. More planes are landing on the highways and cars are running on them.
Right. Well, today I drove right alongside an airplane spraying. It was really neat.
Oh, man, aren't they? And, you know, I heard you say that phrase there. And I was there, and I was talking to a guy that knew real well about those prop sprayers, and I said, well, how's he going to get up over those wires? He'll fly up over those wires, and then the field starts right at the edge. He said, that guy don't go over top of wires, he goes under wires.
Yes.
So he has it, like you say, I thought that was a cute phrase you said. you aren't a pilot until you get the corn husk on your wheel,
that's
buddy.
That's right, yeah. Oh, boy.
That's good. Okay, Charlie,
okay,
take care, Ted. Buddy.
All right.
And so it goes. Yeah, there are more.
Scott, you know, there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Oh, okay, we're back once again, and we got a lot of things to talk about today. Well, I also have some prizes to give away. I ought to think of something I can give away a prize for. What have I got? Zimbie Zibe in the Zoo, and how are you? Okay, yeah. I can send a lot of people to the Zumbezi Bay and the zoo. Okay, now let's see, what else have I got in store? I lay awake at night sometimes, and then when I wake up, or when I'm of clear mind, I can't remember what I thought of during the night that I was going to ask during the day, except I did remember about this semi-truck and what that thing is called, back of the cab that they back into a trailer, and can they actually hear, do they hear it go boom, you know, when they know it's back? How do they check to make sure that's all okay? And then they got to hook up all the wires for the exterior lights of the trailer. And what do they do, too, about if it's a refrigerated truck? That refrigerator must be coming or running all the time, whether it's on a semi or not, I would think. Yeah, there are a lot of things, you know, since we're not, the average person's not involved, although they do want more drivers. Oh, my land, a lot of drivers are retiring, and they're trying to get new drivers in the end. They're offering all kinds of bonuses to become a truck driver. And I wonder what it's like being a truck driver. Do they naturally get heavier because of lack of exercise? What can a truck driver do to, does he exercise once he gets out of his truck somewhere? And so... Oh my, that's a whole different world, isn't it? Truck driving. I've never ridden in a truck, in a semi. I often thought, now that would be an interesting thing, because you can see when they start up, they kind of jerk a little bit because all the weight behind them, you know, makes them bounce a little bit on the startup. And just think of driving that clear across the country or hundreds of miles every day. Well, there are a lot of people here. Even your, I think often of the Kalmbach Feed Company and Hordes and their feed trucks. They travel all over Ohio, even into, of course, Michigan and Pennsylvania, Indiana. Every day, these guys drive and drive, delivering feed to hog farmers. And those hog farmers usually have about 5,000 on hand to feed. That is hogs to feed, yeah, not people to feed the hogs. Okay, so what's any, if you know of a semi-driver that could call me and talk a little bit about truck driving, I appreciate that. Okay, now, I tell you something else. Back when I was a kid, which was, you know, a long time ago, we didn't have electric lights on semi-trailers. That came along, I don't know what the year it was, that they finally were able to electrify the lights, the clearance lights on a trailer. Do you know what they used before that? Lanterns. That's right, kerosene-fueled lanterns hung on that semi, and you had to use a long pole to hook it on and, of course, put fuel in it and light it and so forth. That was a long time ago. Yes, now, if you see a lantern in an antique shop and one side of it is flat, then you know that was a clearance light on a semi-trailer. They have one flat side, naturally. To hang on a trailer, you had to have one side flat. So that's how, and a lot of people wouldn't know that. In fact, the funniest thing I find on Facebook are a lot of times lanterns and other antiques for sale. And some of the younger generation really do not have an idea of maybe what, especially railroad lanterns. You'll see old barn lanterns listed as a railroad lantern. And railroad lanterns had their own style. Many of them were made by the Adelaide Company, or Dietz, and they have their own style, their own type of globes. In fact, a lot of the globes might have been broken in an old railroad lantern, and another globe from a regular lantern substituted. Now, I have one of the most rare lanterns. In fact, I donated one to the Bucyrus Preservation Society that remodeled and restored the train station there in Bucyrus. I gave them one of my old Toledo and Ohio Central lanterns, but I still have one, you know, because, well, they're worth a lot of money now. A TNOC lantern with a globe that says TNOC on it. That is, you know, something rather rare. Okay, now, where was I? We talked about the dog park and Marty Kaufman. Anyone listening that were good friends of Marty? And, you know, he was really a go-getter. And he and his wife must have enjoyed a long time together. But Marty did, apparently, from his obituary, suffer from 10 years from esophageal cancer. Okay, and let me see. The Bratwurst Festival starts tomorrow. Now, I grew up with bratwurst. I was eating bratwurst when I was probably 3 years old or younger. It was a standard thing. If you grew up in Bucyrus, and bratwurst became a part of your life. And later on, even when you were a teenager and beyond, you would stop and buy a bratwurst sandwich at one of the stands along the street. And there were a couple of stands. Bob Holtzel had one at the corner of Mary and Sandusky. And Jimmy Fox was the cook there. And Bob Holtzel made bratwurst. I think his bratwurst were made by the same man that eventually had his own bratwurst plant. But it's gone. Alpha warned about that. But Bob Holtzel's bratwurst were so good. And I can still smell one. And Jimmy Fox used to stand behind the counter there and whistle. This was outside. To attract attention to the bratwurst. Then later on, they moved underneath the overhang there where the pizza shop is now. And then suddenly they all disappeared. Now here's what I'm wondering, and I never have found out, and I've asked around, why the bratwurst being sold on the sidewalk or the street disappeared. Was it a health thing? Did they have to come up to certain? Here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, back years ago when that festival started up there, what was the name of that festival? It wasn't Bratwurst, was it?
No, it was Colonel Crawford Days.
Oh, that's nice to know. Yeah, and you know that bobtail I was talking about?
Yes.
It's just like the bobtail of the cat, you know?
Right, with the bobtail, yeah.
Yeah, so that's he didn't have no tail, so I guess that's where the truckers got that. He's running the bobtail, uh-huh. You know? He don't have no trailer, so... But I heard that all the time. I thought for sure if I was a betting man, I'd have bet you know all about hearing that thing there, a phrase about that.
I like to talk to a trucker and get the ins and outs of today's trucking.
Well, you know there ought to be plenty of them around, but there's probably maybe not in the vicinity or something to listen to hear it, but maybe not home. But, golly, yeah, there's truckers all over the country. Matter of fact, Carol and I talked to one out to Meyer Sunday, and he had one of those big coach rigs, beautiful painting on it, you know.
Yes.
Just beautiful looking thing. And I told Carol, I said, I got to go up there and commend that guy. That's a beautiful rig. And I did, and my God, you talking about a guy that could talk. And he was a short fella, but he was muscular. He'd been a trucker all his life and run some of them guys in the million miles club,
yes,
you know, as
yes.
far as miles, that's a lot of miles. But his wife is MS, and we talked there for about 45 minutes. She drives that rig. It's a 41-footer. And, you know how some of them rigs are just absolutely beautiful. But he was in the parking lot there, and he was changing. He had a little trailer on the back there with a golf cart thing on it, but he travels around and goes camping different
right.
places. But he was a trucker, buddy. He would have been the guy. But, yeah, he lives up in Tippinahaw, but he had that 41-footer, and that, I mean, that thing was just caught my eye. I told Carol, I said, what a beautiful rig that is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Charlie, take care of it.
Thanks, okay.
Yeah, the thing is, a truck, the legal limit on the length of semis lengthened, I mean, 40 feet from, I don't know, any of them longer than 40 or four is 40 the new maximum. But, boy, oh, boy, going around a corner, you know, you have to be quite skilled, and you got to read the back that says, truck makes wide turns. In other words, the truck has to swerve over to get enough room to go around the corner to the right. Yeah, it's something else. Okay, so the Colonel Crawford Day's parade, 1969, I was in that. And the interesting thing is, too, one of the wagons that I pulled in that parade had at least one of Ken Charles's children in it. And my daughter Kathy was also in that. And that particular wagon now is on display in Ohio, or the Crawford County Historical Society's museum. I donated that wagon to them. But that was a long time ago. Colonel Crawford Days was a retail venture. And, you know, we've had them in Marion back when we had stores downtown. We had different retail ventures. And then Colonel Crawford Days took place every year. And then they decided, well, hey, I don't know who it was that made the decision. This should be made into a festival. And we'll change the name, though. And we'll amplify bratwurst, which Bucyrus is so noted for. Okay, now. Let me see, where were we? I'm trying to think here. I've got so many things. Yes. Let's see. Oh, yeah. In Martell, Ohio, Sunday, I saw all this rail building equipment. I mean, oh, boy. It looked just like you see in Europe, where they can lift up all the rails and put down new rails in a continuous thing. I don't know if that's what that was, but it's certainly in two sections. Oh, my goodness. And I don't know if there's any railroaders that could call and say exactly what they're going to be doing, but I'm sure they're going to put down new rails and renew a lot of the roadbeds. My, what a... It's they were parked in Martell. I don't know if they're still up there or if they're busy. Okay, we're going to pause for about 10 minutes, and then we'll be right back with hopefully more interesting things to talk about here on WWGH 107.1.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The voices you want to hear. From Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
What is something, because it's years later now, that would have been a huge show at the time, like a Dr. Quinn, like a David Letterman?
Uh-huh.
You okay? Okay.
Yeah.
The chair buckled over there. Okay. For people listening, you know, something that came in that would have been huge.
A huge...
lost me at the time. A huge show...